according to Luke. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with a person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectations, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. We are getting closer to the celebration of Christmas, but we are not there yet. I heard this story the other day that I thought it interesting, so I want to share with you. And was telling of a man who was brought to a judge. He was in prison. And when he came before the judge, he said, "What have you done?" And he said, "I went to get my Christmas presents too early." And the judge said, "But good, that's not wrong. It means that you are preparing beforehand. So what have you done that they brought you here?" He said, "Yes, but it was too early. The store was not yet open yet." He could not wait. He could not wait. He was so anxious to get, so he could not wait the stores to be open. And many times we have the same lack of patience or impatient feeling at this time. That's why when we come to the third Sunday in this Advent season, if you see, we have our four candles representing the four Sundays. We have the three violet and one pink, and today even the pink representing the third Sunday, because it represents joy. It's like the turning point, because Advent It's not so much a penitential time, even though it is a good time to prepare our hearts, even through the sacrament of penance. So we celebrate Christmas in a beautiful way. But it is a time of joy, of rejoicing. I remember, you know, the rejoicing for something that we are sure will happen. I remember when 2005, I accompanied a group of pilgrims to the Holy Land. I've done that twice in my life, but first time was 2005. And the schedule was like 8 days in the Holy Land and then 4 or 5 days in Rome, the Vatican, Assisi, in Italy. And while we were still in Jerusalem, Pope John Paul II passed away, Saint John Paul II. Now, he passed away, and we had everything set. I mean, a year before, so we did have a hotel in Rome, and we had to continue with our trip. So, but when we got there, was the time of the funeral. If you, those who remember it, there were long lines and people from all over coming to that funeral to have a chance of saying goodbye to the good Pope. And we were there, and Rome was impossible to move, so many people. And the number of the people that I was, said, some of them said, we want to be in that line, we want to see and pass, and I see the body of the Pope that was in the Basilica. I said, okay, I will. A group of 7 or 8, the others decided to visit Rome. But that, so we went there. About, it was 12 noon one day. Seven hours later, when we had basically walked a quarter of a mile, about 7 hours, and we were on a side street, and there is the beautiful basilica. You can imagine a huge square and an avenue that goes. We were on a side street that was moving into that boulevard, you know, and that would lead into the square, and then eventually inside the basilica. It took seven hours for us to go through that side street. But I remember about 7 p.m. when kind of they not opened the gates because there are no gates, but we could turn and from afar we would see the basilica, all beautiful and lit and all the lights because it was dark at that time already. So when we turned and everybody was so happy, finally we can see, we are getting there, you know. It was a joy that came. Eventually it took another 7 hours to get there, but we did get there. 14 hours later, it was 2, 3 in the morning, I don't even remember, we got inside the basilica. But just to say, I remember people rejoicing, and I said, well, it was a funeral. Well, it was a celebration of life, a celebration of the life of a saint. So it is joyful occasion, and we were, you know, the joy of seeing that. You know, that's, I wouldn't say that's the joy, but that's what we, at this moment, when we prepare for Christmas, there is a moment that should be that happiness. I do remember as a child, this was a time when we would visit the grandparents, or they would come and visit us, or the cousins here. I'm from a large family, so many here and there. You know, it was a time to gather almost everyone. We would be, I don't know, 20, 30 kids running around, and it was a time to look forward to. I never had many gifts and this and that, and nobody had many gifts, you know, in my family, so we didn't miss anything, but the happiness of being together. And I remember the time of preparing for that, what joy it would be, you know, the expectations, and the day will come. We would almost not even sleep well because we want that day to come. That's the joy that should come into our hearts. That's the joy that St. Paul in the reading, second reading, says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, I repeat, I insist, rejoice. Rejoice. But where that joy will come from? Because we might see, well, it comes from hope that once again celebrating Christmas should fill our heart with. The hope that, of course, we live in a world that is still has so much pain, has so much struggle on a personal level. You know, how many times we are disappointed, situations and, you know, people we trust and all of a sudden turn their back to us, and we might question, is it worthy trusting anyone anymore? I will not do, you know, we are so ready to give up on anything that is good, on goodness itself. But this time he is reminding us, no, don't give up in what is good. Trust. Our joy comes from our faith. And joy here is something much, much deeper than just a smile on the face. We might see so many people smiling and smiling. Like in the, but could be a smile like in the old theater, you know, the Greek tragedies, that they would wear masks, you know, smiling, frowning, or serious, whatever. They would put it over their face, and that would represent what they were, their feelings. Let us not wear masks, you know, to represent our feelings. Let us carry within our hearts the joy of knowing that the Lord is coming. It's not only a promise, a vague, empty promise. We are sure. It is a certainty. It is that happiness that, if you know that they tell somebody we really love, this time, as I said, you know, we might be welcoming relatives, those we really look forward to see, and we know they're coming, and they say, we are coming, you know, at 6. You know, at 4, we are radiant with joy. That's the joy of Advent. That will rekindle within us the hope that even though we, in many ways, we go through struggles or see the world that needs so much redemption, we put that trust in the Lord. We might not have even a smile in our face, but we have that serenity, that peace in our hearts. The first reading, the prophet Zephaniah will say, you know, shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. The daughter of Zion is a term that we use for Jerusalem. Jerusalem, a city that has gone through so much and represents more than just that city, represents the people chosen by God. That's why we even say the heavenly Jerusalem represents what we look forward to. And even though they were at pain, he says, rejoice in the Lord. He will come. He is the Savior. So let us take also the advice of John the Baptist. Once again, we hear his message. We know that he did not prepare for Jesus' birth, but he did prepare the people for Jesus' preaching, announcement of the kingdom of God. And he is so practical. When people were coming, John would be, I believe, like a preacher who would be close to the Jordan River, and people would come to him, and we see all kind of people, you know, People were considered the sinners at the time, tax collectors. And he's not afraid. I said, what should we do? He said, well, don't charge more than what you are supposed to do. And soldiers came and said, what should we do? What is our sign of repentance, of preparing? And he says, well, don't make people afraid. Don't, you know, charge bribe. Don't bribe the people so they will give you more. No. Protect the people. Do what you're supposed to do. The same thing we should ask, what each one of us, what should we do? And we should come with a very concrete answer as well. Sometimes it's just too easy to say, oh, I should love more. But then we have to, that's perfect, it's wonderful. But we have to say, whom should we love more? To whom should we show that love that represents so much? Maybe are the same people that sometimes we would rather kind of keep away from them. Christmas is a time of joy, real joy that comes from our faith in the Lord. Let us transform, let us translate that joy into service, into reaching out to so many who need our help. And sometimes we do not need to go far away. Our help could be even inside our very home. Listening more, being more attentive, kind. There are so many ways that we should ask, what should we do? But everything we do, let us do it joyfully, full of joy, because the Lord has made a promise, and the promise He keeps, the promise that He's coming and to be with us, to give meaning to our lives, to help us to walk, even though sometimes in darkness, but to walk guided by His light. May that same light guide our steps, our way, always toward Him, toward the people we love, toward everyone in need of us.